Achieving the highest level of performance is a critical path to success for leaders, teams, and businesses. It's more than a mindset, it's a skill set. Arizona Coaching and Consulting helps individuals, leaders, teams, and companies develop the skill set necessary to achieve enhanced levels of performance. Learn more about Arizona Coaching and Consulting capabilities, training programs, and coaching products at www.azc3.com or call 480-518-7757. Arizona Coaching and Consulting, the Performance Business Advisors.
Well, good morning again here on Circles of Change. And as always, Lynn Moran from Arizona Coaching and Consulting Center. How are you today, Lynn?
Great. How are you doing?
Oh, it just couldn't be better. You know, got a lot hopping. Well, last month, Lynn, we spent time talking about, as you have characterized it, various groups of demographics in the workforce, four generations.
Right.
And we wanted to continue today, maybe a brief recap, but then launch into the, so what do I do with this new information, right?
Right. So we know a lot of people are going around and talking about the fact that there are, for the first time in history, four generations in the workplace at one time, starting with the traditionalists born in 22, baby boomers starting in 46. That's when they, you know, the first ones were born, Gen X, 65, and then the millennials born in 81. And they haven't really named the new generation, but they talk about nexters.
Nexters, right, yeah.
As one of the possible words. But you know, so when you talk about the multi-generations, you come to, okay, that's great to know, so what? And the what is huge, because really, multi-generation is a part of diversity. And if you think about, if there's four generations active in the workplace at one time, who's in the marketplace? Right? Who are we selling to? And the fact of the matter is, we're selling to those same four generations who are active.
That's right.
And so there's some disconnects. There's some disconnects internally within businesses about how do we use these, you know, kind of this multi-generational group. And then there's also, I believe, some oversight of, and why do I need that? Because that's who you're selling to.
Mm-hmm.
And remember, boomers in their minds still see themselves as young. So you have really kind of a youth orientation in the thinking for at least three generations. And there are similarities between the generations are. That's what's so interesting. For instance, no matter what the age group or the generation, it's pretty unanimous that work is viewed as a vehicle for personal fulfillment and satisfaction. So it's not just I have to go make a buck, although let's face it, that is part of it. But it's also this relationship with work that says, I want to get personal fulfillment, satisfaction. In other words, you know, this is part of my identity across all generations.
And I think that's really huge, right? Because the thought of, even if we'd say instead of the retirement age being 55, being 65 or 70, it's still, this is a huge identifier for people. And the likelihood of 100% exiting the workforce, even if they had the financial wherewithal, it's a whole different game this day and age.
Sure. So, you know, I always laugh, as I'm sure you do also, when I'm talking to people. And they're like, you know, baby boomers are working because they have to. And I'm like, no, baby boomers are working because they want to.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. There's plenty of boomers who have, I'm one of them, opened businesses or stayed very viable. And are, you know, doing different activities or different types of work or staying in their company, but they're not staying there for the most part. There's always exceptions because they're desperate. They're staying because they're engaged. And they're really the mentors of the new generation coming in. So that's one thing, that people, you know, work does have a personal relationship across all generations. And the culture is important to the job satisfaction of everybody who's working. Goes across generations again. And a survey was done, and it appeared in AARP in an article, but where more than 70% of all employees want a supportive work environment, and they want to be recognized and appreciated. Once again, regardless of generation. But what's creeping in with, you know, kind of this broader work place mentality and generational perspective is a key word, and that's called flexibility.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's going to be a challenge for a lot of companies because, as we know, and we've talked about this some, most businesses today are still run by boomers and, in some cases, some traditionalists. And kind of rules and regulations and the irony, and, you know, once again, we've chatted about this, is that we like people to come into work. We don't know what they do all the time once they get there, but there's a satisfaction of, I want you to come in the door and punch the time clock or scan that time card.
I want to
so
see you.
I know
you.
You're here.
Yeah, I want to see
right.
you. I'll never forget the time when I had a performance review and I was, mind you, an executive of a very large organization, and my boss says to me, you know, you get extraordinary results from your organization, but we can't figure out how you do it because you leave by 5:30 and you don't stay on the weekends. And I thought to myself, mm-hmm. and this is a problem?
Yeah. See, but isn't that interesting? That's one of the classic areas right there.
Oh, and he was a traditionalist, no doubt about it. This was a gentleman who as well had worked his way up from draftsman to be a senior vice president. And so, and I gave him full credit for everything he had become and how he did it. But, you know, to be part of that generation was not where I was going, particularly the time I had a young family.
Right. And think about it. What is it that you want to remember? My whole business, no matter what area I'm working in, is about performance.
You bet.
So I would come back and say, so what is it that you want to motivate people to do? Put in time or deliver results?
Exactly. The whole trap of, is it just activity or is it truly results you're measuring?
Right. And so it's one of those interesting discussions, which is, it's always about performance for me. And that the leaders of today are going to have to be cognizant of the fact that it's not going to get done necessarily the way that it always has. And the Ys are going to really push against that. The Xers have already, but this generation coming up with them, which now together is over well over 100 million, are saying, no, you're on the wrong piece. It should be about the what, not the how. So a huge push, because also think about orientations of a lot of companies. Once again, procedures, policies, we come to work at this time, we leave at this time. And once again, I still, you know, ask a lot of CEOs, and do you really know what they're doing once they get there? What is it that you want, to see them or to see results? So this work style piece is another area around the so what, and the flexibility is going to be pushed. Now, the irony is, sometimes you hear comments like, well, you know, the Gen Ys want to be given everything and they don't want to work for it. And yet, you know, research shows that they're very comfortable with, I can deliver results. Tell me what you want.
Yeah, in fact, almost to the point of wanting it step by step by step. And,
what
isn't always possible to provide.
True, but remember, the Ys are the generation of everybody gets a trophy, everybody wins, very mentored. And so when they come into the workforce, they want that still.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the ironies, right?
And that reflects back to what you had said, though, that that's where the baby boomers, even as they continue their role of staying in a business, to start shifting more and more towards the opportunity to become mentors and preparing the next generation, as opposed to just plugging up the succession plan and not allowing anyone to take that role.
Absolutely. And, you know, oftentimes when, you know, you're speaking to senior level people and they're trying to get a mentoring program going at work, I mean, they talk a lot about, well, you know, it's hard. We want managers or leaders to do this, but, you know, there's a time issue. And my question, or, you know, an initial thought is always like, well, what about all the boomers who have retired? Why wouldn't you let them be the mentors?
Mm-hmm.
They have history. They have experience. And to your earlier point, sometimes the Gen Y really needs a lot of nurturing and development, maybe more than others have because of, you know, the environment they've grown up in. Not all bad. But, you know, sometimes I think that if you're not looking broad enough, with this multi-generational opportunity that presents itself, a lot of misses. I mean, I think a lot of resources that are sitting right at the fingertips of companies. And my, you know, question always is, why do they have to be actively working? What if you had high performers who have retired?
Exactly. And then what we find out, though, back to the fact that traditionalists and boomers have constructed, nurtured, and developed organizations around rules, processes, and procedures, you run into the jam of saying, well, I can't bring them back part-time because I have to count them as a full-time head, which then gets charged on my overhead. I mean, there's all those things that people get tied in knots over, rather than stepping right back and saying, wait a minute, you know, particularly this idea that your very senior people, whether they be technically astute in a given area or they have been your outstanding managers, they can almost be a lifeguard in amongst the novices learning how to swim.
Absolutely. Once again, one of the ironies, a lot of resources available, and other, you and I both came out of manufacturing environments. So other than, you know, your physical assets, what's the biggest investment that a company has?
Absolutely, in this people.
Yeah, and so I believe the mentality has to be an investment mentality versus a I'm hung up over whether it's an equivalent person or, you know, how it goes against my cost center. It's like you, if you want it and you see it as a investment in a resource or an asset, you find it. So another big area moving on really has to do with communication. And, you know, there's a lot of feedback about, you know, Gen Ys especially will text constantly. I have one, and it's true. They do text all the time. But ironically, so do a lot of boomers who are, you know, more into technology. So we kind of put it on the Gen Ys, but it's just so efficient to be able to take care of work all the time. So they're actually driving some efficiencies, if you think about it, which is, you don't have to spend an hour and a half with me. I don't have to see you face-to-face all the time. Just tell me what you want, and I'll take care of it. Text me. Boomers, on the other hand, like to have meetings. You know, that's the whole generation of, you know, let's do team building. You know, let's go out mm-hmm. and, you know, canoe down the river or whatever. Whereas a lot of the more recent generations are, let's multitask. Let's get a lot of things done. Just send me the message and I'll do it. So the shift that has been made within a corporation is not to get hung up on the technology, but instead think about the communication preferences and leaders to really be driving high-performing organizations have to be good at all of it. They really have to step up and learn it and be able to appreciate and not look at one communication technique or strategy that's going to work for everybody. It won't.
Just as much as there is no one way to teach or to for people to learn.
Right, but yet we do have models that
right.
are pretty much like, this is how you run a classroom, this is how you do this. Well, we have that for leadership too. This is what a good leader has, and this is how you have to do it. And yes, some of that will remain the same, but technology and communication strategies and some of the other pieces of the business, work styles and all, will push against some of the traditional or more traditional approaches. And I believe in that there actually can be a rebirth of innovation because people will be forced out of this is the way we've always done it, this is how it works, to say we've never tried that before.
Yes, and being mindful then of knowing they can't be the font of all the answers and turning to the cross generations to get that variety of ideas.
Right, and to have an enduring brand, you must bring new consumers, new younger consumers into your brand. So, you know, companies, leaders, we all have to listen to, what do I need to do to reach you? There are industries and businesses who have a very, very, very mature consumer profile. Of course you want to keep those consumers. They have helped build your brand. But to endure over the long haul, you also have to figure out, how do we bring new ones into the franchise? And it won't be done the way it's been done traditionally.
And, you know, quite frankly, that goes for maybe some products that were more oriented towards youth. But for, as you said nicely in your opening it, none of us boomers wants to do anything but view ourselves as youthful, so that there is opportunities for other products to be, you know, broaden their appeal upward to the age ladder, I'll say, as opposed to just focusing downward to attract the younger generation.
Correct. So, but if somebody puts out a product that's targeted, let's say, to people in their 20s and 30s, the boomers gravitate towards it automatically.
Mm-hmm.
Because once again, that mindset is, we still got it. It's kind of a way of living and thinking about things. That's why also when you say to a boomer, well, when are you going to retire? They look at you like, well, why? Why do you want to know? You know, why do I need to? So there's really a lot of opportunity. And I want to talk a little bit about what I believe is a way to test it. Before I do, there's one other area called influencing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And remember last time we talked a little bit about how boomers have always had a love-hate affair with authority and, you know, some recognition of the importance of it, but not, you know, following it blindly like maybe other generations before did. Well, Gen X and Y are more like the show-me states, right? They will, you know, give some gratis to the position, but they're really interested in, you know, what it is a person brings and what they're going to deliver. And what they don't like is just because they are younger to have some kind of, you know, feedback or kind of an environment that says, well, what do you know?
Yeah,
because they believe they know and they can contribute, and I agree with that, and they know others can, you know, have value and can contribute. But if you want to lose them, just say, well, you know, you don't know this, or, you know, this is what we've done, or rather than saying, well, what does it look like to you today? And I believe that's a very powerful question that leaders have to start asking.
And, so you know, when we always open this subject, though, Lynn, I have to scratch my head because, quite frankly, you know, when I was growing up younger within very large corporate settings, I felt that very same way, and I was a member of the boomer generation. So I think some of these conundrums that we paint as, oh, this is so unique and so new, maybe really aren't that new, but it depends on from what chair you're sitting in, observing its impact on the situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's so interesting you say that, because I just did this presentation in a large company, and there was some feedback about, you know, from you know, middle and upper level managers. Well, you know, the new people coming in, they're so impatient, and they don't want to wait, and they don't want to pay their dues. And I
like we weren't,
said,
you know, like we
exactly
weren't, right?
That's exactly what I said. That's exactly what I said. I said, you know what? I think I remember feeling that way. We look at some of the jobs with the senior people, and even though they really were important to the business, our attitude was, so when are you going?
Exactly.
Okay, when are you going to open this job? Because we want this job. So I don't know that that's really a generational challenge, but it is a perception that people who have now moved on and are holding those jobs and are feeling the push from the people, you know, the new generations coming into an organization, then absolutely, it is your perspective.
But you know what?
Here's conflict.
You know, exactly. But you know, wouldn't we both agree though, because we work across so many different organizations that themselves are changing on a regular basis. Here's the catch, folks, is the jobs that were the hot jobs of the past that might be where the senior managers have progressed through or sit now may be completely irrelevant to the current state or to the future. So that the opportunities for Gen X and Gen Y with the coaching of boomers is sometimes to step in and create entire new fields, opportunities, and positions to, as you would say, get the organizational performance where it needs to go. So it's like a new level playing field in many regards.
Yes, I believe it is. And I believe the ones, companies who look at, once again, multi-generational workforce as a competitive advantage will lead the way. And I think they will reap the greatest benefits and build the best, most sustainable businesses. Because a lot of businesses are, you know, formed, grow, and collapse. And so I like the word sustainable. I believe that What senior leaders are assigned to do is build a sustainable business that survives long beyond, long past when they have, you know, completed their tenure at the company.
Or can live so, also survive through all these up and down cycles that are getting a lot more wicked and a lot faster in entry and exit, wouldn't you agree, in, you know, the recent 20 yeah. years of business?
Yes, but I would also submit there are a number of businesses who are performing very well in this environment, because they didn't wait for something to happen to put performance mindset in. So the last piece I'd like to share for tonight is, so what do you do? You don't just walk in tomorrow and say, okay, so that person looks like a boomer and that person looks like a traditionalist. Wait a minute, there might be an X. I believe you have to be very intentional, and I'm recommending that companies try lead multi-generation teams, LMTs, and that you deploy them through the business or in around products or around initiatives in the company, just as you would a Six Sigma team.
Right, right.
All right, so that it, rather than just saying, well, let's just, you know, put people places, say, you know what, we have some products that are underperforming, or we have some, you know, strategies that we're really not executing well. I want to bring in, once again, I'm calling an LMT, a lead multi-generation team, because we need to challenge the way we've been doing things. And so with a mindset that says, I'm curious versus I'm convinced that the way we've done it is right, then I believe that not only can you continue to hire to represent your consumer or customer base, but that you can also deploy them throughout the business around on special missions or areas where you just don't think that you've gotten a breakthrough as a company, or you're not getting the performance you want, because many times the combination of experience and new perspective is synergistic.
And I think any parent out there knows exactly what you're talking about, because if you are wrestling with any problem, if you turn to your young people in your household and explain the problem, before you know it, they're going to give you the straight out answer in some way you completely didn't expect.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, once again, I'm not recommending nor suggesting that whatever's been done is not good. I just believe that if you take a little broader perspective with this multi-generational workforce that's right there available to you, that you can have even greater results and better performance, and be more connected to the consumer base, the customer base that you're selling to, because they are a composition of that workforce.
Exactly, and that's how you want to serve that as a mirror. Well, Lynn Moran from Arizona Coaching and Consulting Center, thanks again for your insight. You can learn more about what Lynn's up to on a regular basis, www.azc3.com. We, of course, have quite a collection of the podcasts that Lynn has contributed to our show in our 2011 library under a specific tab called Arizona Coaching Consulting, of course. Lynn, thanks so much for joining us today, and have a great afternoon.
Thanks. Enjoyed the conversation.
Absolutely. Take care. Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, helping others unleash potential through transformational change. 1-877-544-2580.